Hi everyone, welcome to the Citation Podcast. I'm Jill McAteer, Director of Employment Law at Citation.
And I'm Emma McGrath, a professional sports solicitor at Citation.
On 17th July, King Charles delivered the new Labour government's first King's Speech, and it confirmed that they intend to move quickly to bring into force the huge range of employment law reforms they set out in their plan to make work pay. The principal vehicle for many of these changes will be an employment rights bill. And in the notes to the King's Speech, we find out what's going to be in that bill for the first time. In this podcast, we'll be looking at those changes and the implications for employers. Emma, I think one of the changes was most likely to get media attention, and it's also going to be one of the biggest concerns for employers, is the change to unfair dismissal rights.
Yes, absolutely. It seems sort of fairly radical changes, really. So at the moment, an employee needs to have been employed for at least 2 years to bring what we call an ordinary unfair dismissal claim. So, for example, because they're being dismissed for poor performance and they say that the employer didn't give them fair warning and looking at how much training they could give them and support, etc. Now, the big change that's being proposed or being introduced is that the right to bring an ordinary unfair dismissal claim will apply from day one of employment. We've already got what are called automatic unfair dismissal claims that apply from day one. So an example would be an employee is dismissed because they raised a health and safety complaint to their employer. I think the rationale behind those is that they're perceived as being really important rights that the employee shouldn't be punished for exercising. But as I said, it's being proposed that from day one, employees can bring a straightforward unfair dismissal claim. This was heralded in the plan that Labour produced as part of their election campaign. And the rationale behind this was thinking that it would help to ensure that newly hired workers were not being fired without sort of a decent reason. That would help drive up standards in workplaces, which in turn would help employees or people try out new opportunities and sort of keep the flow in the labour market. And I think these changes will certainly require an employer to always consider how strong their reason is for dismissal, thinking about whether it's something that could be improved over time. So, for example, timekeeping, and therefore that they should be following a proper warning process rather than moving straight to dismissal. So we haven't got full details of what this new right is going to be involving, but in Labour's plan as part of the election manifesto, they were talking about that the right wouldn't prevent fair dismissals. So, for example, because of capability or conduct or redundancy. And they also said that employers could still go through probationary periods with fair and transparent rules and processes. So I think all this is going to emphasise the importance of proper recruitment processes and induction processes so that the right employees are hired for the job and it's clear from the beginning what's expected of them. And really, that's sort of part of effective employee management anyway. For example, because the recruitment process is expensive and time-consuming, so really the best result for everybody is that the right employee is recruited, they settle into the job, and they do the job well. So yeah, as I said, these unfair dismissal changes are fairly radical, but they're not the only big change that's being proposed. There's quite another ones, isn't there, Jill?
Yes, Labour are also using this bill to tackle what they perceive to be one-sided flexibility in the labour market. Now, in the UK, we have got one of the most flexible labour markets in the world, but there have been concerns raised over the years that this has gone too far in favour of employers. And so to tackle this in the employment rights bill, there will be two measures. First of all, they're going to ban what they term exploitative zero-hours contracts. Now, zero-hours contracts are used very widely in UK businesses, and we're still not clear what exploitative actually will mean and how it will be defined. But one of the things they do say in their plan to make work pay is that everyone should be entitled to a contract which reflects the work that they normally carry out, and that would be calculated by looking over the previous 12 weeks. So that may give us some insight into how the new rules will work. The second measure they intend to introduce is the right to reasonable notice of either a change in shifts or a curtailment of the hours you are due to work, and with a corresponding right to compensation if you don't get that notice. Now, again, it's going to be very interesting to see how they legislate around this, because again, flexibility is so important for so many employers, and they depend upon the fact that they can change shifts at the relatively last minute. And the key question is going to be is what is reasonable going to be termed as? Because, of course, that can vary enormously from sector to sector and specific situations within businesses. So, again, we'll really look forward to seeing the wording in the bill to see how this is going to be managed by the government. We do know that the right to compensation will be on a sliding scale. So the less notice you're given, the more compensation you'll have to pay. So I think it's probably a good idea for businesses to be looking at the extent to which they use flexible labour at the minute, seeing how these sorts of rules might impact upon them, and, for example, seeing whether there could be perhaps more tight management around changes to shifts, etc.
Another change that we're seeing being introduced is to make parental leave a day one right. So that's already in place at the moment, but the employee needs to have a year's service before they're actually allowed to use it. Now, parental leave isn't widely used, or maybe not widely known about, but it allows for parents or people with parental responsibility to take periods of unpaid leave to care for their children under 18 years old. And it can be used from birth up to the child's 18th birthday, and is a period of up to 18 weeks across that whole period, with a maximum of 4 weeks being used a year. And as I said, that's going from needing a year's service to actually applying from day one. Perhaps a right that's a lot more known about is statutory sick pay, and there are going to be changes to the way that that operates as well. So there's two quite significant changes to the current regime. So the first is that at the moment, there's an unpaid waiting period of 3 days when somebody goes off sick. But actually, the government is saying that they're going to make statutory sick pay payable from the first day of absence. Now, potentially, this could increase SSP costs for businesses, but perhaps, you know, one of the rationales could be that employees are currently working, you know, perhaps unproductively, when they're not really well enough to do so because they can't afford to have the unpaid days, the 3 unpaid days at the beginning. So that isn't productive for businesses either. So it may well increase costs, but it might have some benefits as well. The other big change is that at the moment, employees have to earn the lower earnings limits before they qualify for statutory sick pay, which is currently set at £123 per week. It's actually being removed, so there won't be any kind of minimum wage requirement before somebody qualifies for statutory sick pay. That's going to have less impact because I think, you know, most people do earn at least £123 a week, but, you know, it certainly will bring more people into the fold.
Another change which is going to be covered by the bill is one which has been talked about for years, and in fact the Conservatives had committed to introducing this a few years ago, and that is the introduction of a new single enforcement body which is going to be looking after the enforcement of labour rights. And we understand that this new body is going to be called the Fair Work Agency. Now, this is a change we're expecting to see very quickly because the Labour government have said it's quite disappointing that it hasn't been created, even though it was promised a few years ago. But the fact that Labour are actually going to be bringing this body into reality means that and in fact they have promised it's going to have real teeth. And so their plan to give it new powers to inspect workplaces and bring proceedings to enforce employment rights. The idea being that it will give workers swifter access to justice. And therefore, I think that with this new agency up and running in the very near future, it's going to be more important than ever for employers to be looking at what they're doing and making sure that they're complying with their employment law obligations. And as the new body is going to be looking at not just areas of state enforcement at the minute, such as national minimum wage, but also areas such as whether the correct holiday pay is being paid, whether in relation to areas such as holiday pay and national minimum wage, whether contracts are compliant. So we'll really wait to see with interest the full scope of its activities. Now, another area which has already seen a lot of change this year is flexible working. But those changes don't go far enough for the new government, do they, Emma?
No, absolutely. So, yes, you know, in April this year, we saw some big changes to flexible working. So, for example, making it a day one right to be able to make a flexible working application. and that employees can make two flexible working applications in a year as opposed to the previous one. But yes, the new Employment Rights Bill is going to further push for flexible working to become the norm in line with, you know, more modern working practices. So it talks about making it a default from day one, with employers required to accommodate requests as far as is reasonable. And I think, you know, it is showing very much more this sort of shift of attitude to sort of thinking, you know, well, why shouldn't we allow this flexible working application as opposed to why we should? You know, it's very much about trying to make it work when it can. Now, we haven't got the details yet. So, you know, it's not clear, for example, whether there's going to be any change to the current 8 broad reasons for why an employer can say no to a flexible working application. And therefore, you know, there may be still plenty of reasons why they can refuse. But as I said, it's very much trying to accommodate it wherever possible.
So far, we've covered new unfair dismissal rights, measures to tackle one-sided flexibility, parental leave, SSP and flexible working changes, and the introduction of a new Fair Work agency to enforce labour rights. And you may think that's enough, but Labour is billing its agenda for change as the biggest upgrade of employment rights in a generation. So there's a lot more to go. Another area where the government are actually looking at changes which have really only just hit employment law and saying they don't go far enough, we're going to amend them, is in relation to dismissal and re-engagement, or as it's more popularly known, fire and rehire. Now, in that particular case, the statutory code on dismissal and re-engagement only came into force on the 18th of July, but in the bill, the government announced that they would be making changes to that code. Now, essentially, fire and rehire is the practice where employers need to make changes to employees' terms and conditions, but are unable to get their agreement to do this. And so, therefore, the ultimate weapon they have in those circumstances is to dismiss under the current contract and offer to re-engage the employees on the new terms. Now, Labour's plans have been described by themselves as banning this practice. But actually, if you look at the detail, they're not talking about a ban. But what they're doing is going to strengthen the code to make it clear that this practice should only be done when there is genuinely no alternative. So I think the bar that employers will have to clear is going to be raised considerably. And they're also going to make it so expensive to breach this that it's effectively going to force employers to comply with it. A lot of the public concern about P&O, which is the example which really sparked an interest in fire and rehire, was the fact that in that particular case, it was a commercial decision. It was going to cost a lot more to comply with the law than it was going to cost to break it. And effectively, that's what the Labour government want to tackle. They want to make it so expensive to break the law that it effectively forces employers to comply with it.
We're also seeing some increase in maternity protection. So we haven't got a lot of detail about this. We'll obviously need to wait for the bill to understand exactly what the detail is going to be. But just to sort of directly quote from the announcement, it's going to make it unlawful to dismiss a woman for 6 months after her return from maternity leave, except in specific circumstances. So, you know, very much more ultra protection for somebody returning from maternity leave.
Another area which the King's Speech revealed would be included in the bill, but I don't think the bill will be the last word on this, are changes to trade union legislation. The Labour government have made it clear that they firmly believe that worker representation is a key to economic success. And so they're proposing a wide range of changes in this area, such as repealing anti-union legislation introduced by the Conservatives and creating new obligations on employers to tell all new employees of their right to join a union, making it a statutory requirement to state this expressly in their contracts of employment, and reminding staff regularly of this right. And they also want to relax the rules around trade union recognition, which they believe to be unnecessarily restrictive. Quite how many of these reforms will be included in the Employment Rights Bill, we don't yet know, but that's certainly an area I'll be keeping a close watch on. Finally, the bill also will be covering the establishment of a new fair pay agreement in the adult social care sector. This is something which featured in the plan to make work pay. And in that document, the Labour government also said that they would be looking very closely at how the fair pay agreement worked in that particular sector to see whether or not they'd want to actually implement this in other sectors, although they did recognise that this would not be appropriate for many sectors. So again, this would be something which would be very interesting to see how that change actually develops.
Yes, and just on the subject of pay, I think it's also worth mentioning about the proposed changes to national minimum wage, which aren't part of the bill, but can be actually just introduced by the government without any sort of extra law or legislation. So at the moment, there are current age bands for national minimum wage. So we've got the 16 and 17 year old age band, 18 to 20, and then the national living wage is paid to people from 21 and above. And it has been argued over the years to be age discrimination to have these different bands, and you know, literally people are paid more or less dependent on their age. The government has now announced that it proposes to remove the age band, and it's used the phrase of to ensure every adult worker benefits. So I think probably what that means is that they're going to have the same rate from age 18 upwards, but perhaps the 16 to 17 year old age band will remain. But we'll certainly keep an eye on this and all the other developments.
Yes, I suppose the big question now is what is the timeline for this? Because the Labour government have been very clear, and in fact, this was one of their most prominent manifesto promises, that they considered employment law reform to be one of their legislative priorities and that they would be introducing this employment rights bill within their first 100 days of government, which I think would mean that they would have to publish it on or before the 12th of October. Of course, publishing the bill will only be the first step because it will still have to go through the parliamentary process. And therefore, I think it's not likely we'll see any of these reforms actually coming into force before April next year. But given that we won't know the finer details of a lot of these changes until that bill is presented, that's still not going to give employers a lot of time to get ready for these changes. And so therefore, this is something we're going to be keeping a very close eye on, and we'll be updating our clients and doing further podcasts to update everyone on the finer details as we know them. So thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, and see you next time.